Hi, listeners, and welcome to the Dave Recruit podcast. I'm your host, Britt Lawton, and today I'm very excited to be chatting to Cape Town-based artist, Fani Bass. So welcome, Fani, and thanks for joining me.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for asking me to be on the pod, Britt. Very excited to chat to you.
Awesome. It's great because it's nice to get to know some new artists and also about the collaborations that we've been having in the workshop. For listeners who don't already know who you are, don't you want to give us a quick update of who is Fani Bass and how did you come to be an artist?
So my name's Fani, short for Stephanus Cornelius. I'm the fourth one in a row, apparently. I am from George. I think my first figurative work was when I was about five and I drew my parents' feet in the sitting room and got a huge rush from that. Always loved drawing as a child. Actually wanted to do fashion design, but Michaelis offered me a very nice scholarship, so I decided to make a go of painting and never looked back. Decided art's actually quite good fun.
Awesome. So you totally fell in love with painting. I mean, that is your main medium, ultimately. And I just wanted to know if you can give us a little bit of an overview of your practice.
So broadly speaking, I have a figurative practice. Everything sort of painting is my pass and go collect 200 in my practice. I've been dabbling in ceramics. I'm busy looking at my oil painted vases at the moment. But yeah, so I work figuratively pop art based. I'm sort of very reluctant to say pop art because everybody always thinks sort of Liechtenstein, Ben Daydot, but I like to record sort of figures and fragments from television, movies, popular culture, memes, and sort of reframe them through oil paint to consider what they mean to us as aspects of visual culture as opposed to sort of the very throwaway way we've come to interact with images on computers and cell phones.
Yeah, and I mean, that really does come across. You seem to capture like almost like a time capsule of our generation of popular culture through your work, which is really quite beautiful and like a very traditional technique, which is what I love about your work personally. So just out of curiosity, what is your main influence behind your practice?
I try and keep it up to date. I think my like core text has always been Susan Sontag's Notes on Camp, not only because it's one of the easier Susan Sontag pieces to read. I think it's a nice way to sort of reframe the discussion of the use of images as a commodity in a sort of cultural sense. But more sort of visually, I've been very influenced when I was at art school, very influenced by Ian Gross and Mia Chaplin. Love, love, love their work. They're much better at painting than me. Mia started doing ceramics, being very interested to see what she's been able to do with oil paints and ceramics. I really love this New York-based sort of curatorial group called Think 1994. Who I've done some work with, and they also curate a lot of really interesting work in my milieu. Laura Collins, another New York-based artist, she's currently working on the most amazing series of Real Housewives women pointing, oil paintings of just women pointing, and I think that's a really interesting bath-style mythology of the Real Housewives. So that's where I am influence inspiration-wise at the moment.
Awesome. Yeah, is there something that you like listen to or watch while you're painting?
I do sometimes feel like a documentary and I go through there's a lot of really nice VHS documentaries that's been put onto YouTube. Particularly good Francis Bacon one where they later in life they film him in the grappling with alcoholism, screaming at people in bars, which is a huge inspiration, of course, to me. I think because I really struggle with concentration, I like putting on something I know. So a lot of the work you'll see will have been produced to the background of Gilmore Girls over and over and over again. But yeah, I like interviews as well. Mark Maron does some really nice ones with sort of indie musicians. There's one with Kim Deal that I listen to all the time. Yeah, so I keep it varied, keep the influences varied.
And just out of curiosity, I mean, yeah, I wonder how your personal identity influences your artistic practice and the works that you create.
So I think a lot of especially I think if you pay attention to the titling, especially with works that are less narrative in their structure, sort of, so more my interiors or my landscapes, I try and connect what's that image. Sometimes I don't delineate whether it's from first-hand observation or something I've found, sort of a found image, and I try and connect, blur that distinction and connect it to my own experience through my titling. So I've got a few interiors going on show in Cape Town in February, and the examples, the titles for those, A Room Decorated by a Woman Who Has Suffered No Anguish, just sort of trying to build a confusing clue for a complex greater narrative out of the title and how it relates to my life, but not making it too illustrative, because otherwise it just becomes an illustration.
So, I mean, what we really want to talk about now is this kind of collaboration that you've been doing with the David Crit Workshop. I just wondered if you can maybe let us know if you've got a relationship with printmaking prior to this collaboration.
So, actually, fun fact, I didn't study painting. When I was in first year, I hung out with a lot of the fourth years at Michaelis, one of them being Amy Sudeen, who's doing some really interesting curatorial projects at the moment. But Amy told me at Michaelis, when you specialize, choose the people you like, don't choose the medium you want to do. And I got along really well with Fritha Langerman and Stephen Ings. And they've been, even into my career after Michaelis, they've been amazing supports and influences. Also Catherine Bull, and they were all in printmaking. So I stuck with printmaking. And then in fourth year, I thought I want to do painting, and having the influence, because painting figuratively, like I do, is almost a printmaking process, because it's a reproduction of an image transformed by human error. And that was my first segue into painting. So I've studied printmaking. I know how to do it. And that's sort of how I knew Roxy. I studied with Roxy's sister. I've spent many wonderful years in studio with Roxy's sister, Alex. I think we've been sharing a space since we were in fourth year on and off. The Catchmaracs play a big role in my life, all of them, they're all wonderful. And I think the best way to establish my relationship with Roxy, so before David Crook, Roxy worked for Warren Editions, and it was my third year color etching assignment. And for those of you who don't know, you work with a brass plate and you put it in acid and it makes different marks in the plate, and then you wipe ink onto the plate. But because it was color and I was working with light color, the grease from my hands was making the brass corrode and it was making the ink all gray. So Roxy and Jeanette at Warren Editions very kindly let me use their steel facing tank, which is a long narrow tank, and it looks kind of gross because it's full of rust, but that makes the electrolysis work really well. And I was really very kindly shown how to do it, given all the resources, and off I go. I sort out my plates and I put on my tape. Unfortunately, I didn't listen or do it properly to get my tape on the back, so when I put it into the steel facing tank, it fell, and I had to sit and watch all of these amazing printmakers get sort of up to their arms in this gross, rusty water trying to fish out my second year etching project. That's like my pivotal Roxy experience, but has always been a great person to bounce ideas off, and a role model almost with how to work with print in the South African art market. Because a lot of South Africans, I think, aren't used to prints or don't really understand the way prints accrue value or are traded, especially in the young collector sort of space that I operate in. And it's really great, especially with watercolor monoprints, to work with someone who's generating a culture of young print enthusiasts and collectors.
It's great to hear, I mean, that those kind of personal relationships build up into, like, you know, communities, because you're definitely part of the David Crit family now, having done this collaboration with us. And as is Roxy, obviously working as both an artist and a printer. So it's really nice to know that, you know, there are artists that are helping each other, and organizations, like you say, David Crit is very focused on, you know, helping young artists and building up young collectors. So having accessible work by well-known artists such as yourself is really awesome. And it's really nice to be able to work together in that way. I just wanted to know a little bit about the background with your monotypes, because you produced these monotypes with us now for this upcoming exhibition, but it was done very differently because you couldn't be in the physical space. So I wondered if you can maybe tell us a little bit about how that worked and what you needed to do.
So myself being in Cape Town, very kindly, I got a beautiful parcel from David Crooks one day. I can't remember if that one was posted or sent with beloved Adele van Heerden, but still, beautiful parcel arrived with me. So monotype is mono meaning one. It's one watercolor print. And the principle is you've got a Perspex sheet with gum arabic, which is a water-soluble goo for better substance, and then you apply your secondary goo, being your watercolor paint, and then you let it dry, and the water in the paper through the press and the pressure pulls off your picture, if you, dear listener, can process that in your head. But just the goo goes onto the paper, very much like that. So I got this beautiful package from David Crutt, all of these plates, beautifully wrapped and lovely notes, beautiful card. I think that I even still have here. Oh, wait, famously not official medium podcasting, but I'll show you my David Crutt card from the DKWT. So I got them here. I don't work with watercolor, so I made a few watercolor sketches that I sent to Rocks for feedback, and I tried to think of the way watercolor works as a medium that gives you a lot more, once again, the goo factor coming back, and thinking of what subjects, what times does this watery mark evoke. And what I've been thinking in these works is sort of sitting here in 30 degree heat in Cape Town with the fan trained on me is like sweating on your wedding day. Actually, a friend of mine, Jackie, has this wonderful story about being at a wedding in a 30 kilogram sari in like Durban heat and humidity. And that's the most visceral thing I can think of. But yeah, so this series of works, my string was Anna Nicole Smith wearing wedding veils, someone who was ultimately famous and characterized by her role as a bride and sort of almost her failure to conform to that stereotype, and then conversely her influence in creating a whole new stereotype in the media, almost stereotype ironically being a printmaking term that was used in sociology. I just listened to a podcast about that. I'm thinking of, firstly, she is was a wonderfully sweaty, makeup-y, messy woman in the most gorgeous sense, a very beautiful and tragic life. So how the watercolor medium pulls into the way she was portrayed almost, and using that very visceral, bodily way she embodied her role as a person in media, and trying to turn it into something very tender and sincere and loving, because I think she touched a lot of people, despite, unfortunately, I think often being used as a punchline, that those things don't have to be mutually exclusive. You can rejoice in someone's alternative way of living.
Mm. That's an awesome background about your content and everything. And then with these works, you had to kind of create the matrix or the image onto the Perspex plate in your studio in Cape Town, and then you sent it down to us in Joburg, and the printers or the print technicians printed it in the workshop here. I just wondered if you had any reflections or thoughts about that kind of new way of collaborating over a distance.
So firstly, because you don't know how it's going to come out, it's very exciting. As someone who had several pen pals as a teen, the epistolatory form is not unknown to me. So it's really fun to, a bit harrowing as well. So you make your matrix and you let it dry and you wrap it up beautifully. Not something I like doing. I think I sent a very strange looking parcel back, but it got there safely, and that's what's important. But as in a printmaking process, you're often there and watching it happen as it goes along. So it was a bit nerve-wracking, but very also conversely like a surprise box, getting messages from Roxy and the DKW team, seeing my prints being pulled off the press, seeing the process happening, and also incredibly nice as someone who's not very tidy to see such skilled professionals do everything so beautifully for me. It's a different experience, but it's lots and lots of fun. And I think it helps create a lot more unexpected marks, a lot more collaboration between the technical team and the artist as well, which is nice, because often you sort of swan in and you chat to the person who's managing the studio, but you don't get to engage with the technical team one-on-one, and they're the people handling your artwork and observing your marks and chatting about all the different ways you've used paint and oil paint or watercolor paint, which is great fun.
And I mean, so obviously you mostly work with oil paints, and it's quite thick and textural, whereas with the monotype it is rather flat. I don't know if you want to maybe reflect a little on that.
Oh, I think I'm a bit in the dog box in that regard, because I do know I use very, very thick watercolor paint. So one of the things I learned, watercolorists out there will know this is a big no-no, is that I use white paint to body up my colors, which I think drove everybody in the studio insane. But it was a bit of a jump going from working in the very sort of impasto way I work, and also in oil paint, you start with what's furthest at the back and you work front, and you start with your darkest color and you work lighter. And it had to be a much more sort of, it was almost like doing a mandala, because I'd start in the middle and I'd work my way out as well. And it's also very weird, because oil paint, you get to work on an easel where everything's sort of 90 or 70 degrees to you. And that helps you with foreshortening, because if you see something laying down, if it's looking, when you're drawing and when you're painting, you the human tendency, your eye corrects that, and then you end up with sort of slightly longer heads. So that was also a little bit difficult, but it's actually, ultimately, I really want to try and do my own little watercolor monoprints here in studio, or see if I can hustle a press, because it's been a very rewarding experience, and I'm very proud of the works. They're looking absolutely stunning.
Yeah, that's lovely to hear, and we can't wait for everyone to see them. The works are going to be featured in an upcoming group exhibition called Alone of Its Kind here at Devika Projects in Joburg. Hopefully you'll get a chance to come through and visit us.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Adele and I are going to have to break out the ox wagons and do the track up, yeah.
What don't we know about Farnie Bass?
I wear my heart on the sleeve, so often things that you don't know about Farnie Bass, Farnie doesn't know about Farnie Bass either. There's a wonderful Oscar Wilde story about a woman who like goes to this room, and the whole story is about what on earth is she doing in the room, and then at the end of the story they find out that she dies suddenly, and that she just rented this room to go and sit in it every day to be mysterious. And
there's
no other reason. So yeah, that's what I do. That's why I pay for a studio here. I just
That's brilliant. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us today, Farnie. It's been a pleasure to get to know you, and also such a pleasure for our workshop to be able to work with you, and we can't wait to put your works on show in the upcoming group show.
Likewise, Britt. Thank you very much for your time, and it's been a wonderful interview.